You're here to worship the Lord. Sometimes on those or these Sundays when we've changed our clocks and our bodies haven't changed yet with the time, it's a little bit of a different challenge for us. But I've found though over many years that it's the more likely it's the evening service when it catches up with us. So we'll do our best this evening hour to not keep you to some ungodly hour, but get things through and done and be on our way this evening hour. This portion of Scripture that you have read of 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 brings out a beautiful picture or phrase or phrases that have been used for many years and been around. Perhaps you're well acquainted with them, might jot them down if you never heard them. But it's, I thank God for the past. I thank God for the past. I praise God for the present. Praise God for the present. And I trust God for the future. Yeah, I thank God for the past. Praise God for the present, and I trust God for the future. And that applies well and comes in well to this portion of Scripture as we're thinking together with regard to that of living by faith or walking by faith as 2 Corinthians 5:7 comes our way and not by sight. So that's the portion 2 weeks ago that we started with and want to continue with and think our way, not so much in a verse-by-verse study, but an overall look at these chapters with regard to faith, walking by faith. The comfort of faith is what I'm thinking on in this chapter, the comfort of faith. This past week, my wife and I were away. We traveled to Western New York, to where the Lord had allowed us to minister back in the ancient past. And one of the men there, who was a deacon when we were there, had moved from that section. It's called Belfast, New York. Had moved from there to down into Delaware to be with and live with a family, his daughter and family, that had passed away, age 95. And so he wanted to be brought back have a service there in Belfast, and he's married in a little spot in this world called Friendship, a little town of Friendship. And so he was brought back, and on our way to Michigan, we did a little hook up that way and had the service for him. And he was a man who greatly enjoyed the Scriptures, stood strong for Christ, and was an able servant of the Lord. And it was, in a sense, one of those easy funeral services to have, a delight to it. And then on to Michigan and spent some days there under Grand Rapids, Michigan. So we pretty much covered across the state and traveled back last Tuesday night and Wednesday. And so our feet are sort of on the ground from that traveling, and appreciated prayers and appreciated Mr. Binkley's swapping with us this past Sunday. Well, when you come to 2 Corinthians, and we think of the comfort of faith, that's what I see in this chapter, as we bring this kind of overall general theme chapter by chapter. The comfort of faith is what we have in this. And you noted that as we read just, not even the first half of the chapter. That we'll deal with that this morning hour, that is, sinners purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus. We come together this morning hour to have our hearts, minds, souls examined by way of the Word of God, that we might walk this week by faith in the things of the Word of God. And so we come together to get encouraged and built up and strengthened and have our hope built upon the things of the Word of God that are before us. And we wanting to know and walk in the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us, gave himself for us. To do that, we need to walk by faith in a world that knows nothing about faith and wants nothing to do with faith, but rather all things by way of sight and what's going on. So out of this chapter, there's a great section brought in here, this first section of primarily that of a not walking by sight, but walking by faith. So I'm going to kind of dig in a little bit and get some of the treasures that God has put in here. He has written this, of course, to a local church, and here a local church is gathered. So out of it, we reap some of the things that are there that indeed will be useful and directions-wise in our lives. When this letter was written to the church at Corinth, we need a reminder that Paul was not greatly loved by all the Corinthians. Nor was he greatly loved by the many round about who were opposed to the message of grace, or believed the message of grace ought to be combined with the message of the law. And so Paul brings out some great events and feelings and kind of shares some heartaches. He kind of unveils himself, and we get a picture of him, Paul the man here, in some down-to-earth situations and dealing with problems that were brought upon him and into his life. And so it's kind of pulling back the curtain, and you get a look at his life and this man, Paul. And so that picture is brought out down through the book as well. We mentioned that here at the beginning to have that in mind as we work our way down through it. So with all of that little bit of introduction in mind, we have in mind that living by faith, as Paul did, as we are, as we desire to, and always have our faith strengthened to live more by faith than by sight, Paul brings out the Christ-likeness, Christ-centeredness, the great grace of the Lord of how to live in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, shine as lights in that world, and not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read those first few verses, which we did just a few moments ago, it's a good place to pause and ponder how the Word of God comforts our hearts. It's good, I often have said, to get the book and sit in a nook. No one knows what a nook is anymore. I'll explain that later. But get a book and sit in a nook and take a look. What's there in the book, to ponder it and think upon it. Don't be in a race to get through the Word from God. Pause and ponder. And when we do that, it's great comforting to our hearts and minds in the midst of the world in which we live. There in chapter 1 in verse 1, where he says, Paul, and goes down to the word God, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, is a reminder to us from his first letter, and in chapter 1 in verse 2, where he said, wrote to those who were called to be saints. And this glorious statement that we have here, by the will of God, is that of God's everything, and what am I? God's everything. Jesus Christ is everything, and really I am nothing. I am that one redeemed by the blood of the Lamb to be used for his name's sake on an earth that cares not for the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I became a believer in Christ by the grace of God, I was sitting way in the back of the church, way in the back. And, hiding out as a teenager, probably there because I didn't want to do something on the farm, but not because I was such a nice guy. But anyway, back in the message from the preacher affected my heart, and the cantata that was sung that evening affected my heart through the Word of God. And I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and became a child of His, and my heart was just greatly humbled before Him. A haughty teenager before that. But God humbled my heart. That's what this does, you know. An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Those that are redeemed, our hearts are humbled. It produces humility in us, which indeed greatly needed for us. Great humility to know that everything about my life is from Jesus and because of Jesus. And there we stand with regard to it. Ponder it. By God's will, we know from the scriptures you've studied well over the years. It's by God's will that sinners are saved and a life is changed. And we follow in obedience and are immersed and become part of a local church at that immersion time. And joyfully become part of a ministry involved in the things of God. We are disciples. And disciples are to do something. They are to follow the Lord. And following the Lord, disciples live and act like disciples. And disciples make disciples. And disciples make disciples to be makers of disciples. I think we often forget, I'm a disciple of the Lord. I've been purchased. And I have this ministry of glorifying the Lord as I make disciples, folks, to be followers of Him through the giving out of the living Word, living by faith and walking in it. God's will. Glorious thought. But our message isn't necessarily there, though it builds, I trust, a foundation this morning hour with regard to it, that of this truth would indeed encourage our hearts. And a tie-in with it just is that of Ephesians 1:5. Again, just humbling words. Words that just put us in our place, as it were, before the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. How humbling. How humbling. And how comforting. Comforting for us. Our lives under the gracious holy hand, by His will, a glorious place to be. By faith, knowing this, by His will I am His. It inspires us to serve Jesus by faith and not by sight. A few weeks back, my wife was out doing some wifey shopping, and I was along. But I didn't go into the ladies' stores. I went to the men's stores. And I just wander around because I don't really too much needed, but I look anyway. And it was interesting in the store I was in, not sure exactly what it was, the tool store anyway. And this couple were buying something, and they got up there, and they were having a good conversation with the lady at the counter, and hadn't been there too long, and the conversation went to the fact of after the bill was paid, the lady says, would you mind if we would leave you a gift? Everyone likes the word gift. And she said, I have a gospel track. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to leave it with you. I thought, look at that. You don't see that too often. So I just kind of meandered around, peeking my nose around at things that were kind of back behind the counter where I could see the lady. And you know what she was doing? She was reading it. I know so often the tract is given, it's laid aside, whatever, you know. But I thought, well, isn't that interesting? This couple weren't from Pennsylvania. They were quite south. And their language let it be known, their southern draw. But I thought, well, look at that. So often I skip giving out a tract because I, in my mind, they're not going to read it anyway. I think about, that humbles your heart when you think about that. The Word of God, it must be given out. And you and I can do it so simply, so easily, so gently, and encouragingly, and leave the Scriptures, and they know not someone's going to read it or not. Here is an illustration of one who did, and we pray that by the grace of God, through faith, she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while I'd like to spend a few days on the latter half of verse 1 here, we are going to do the evening service on 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1 and the latter half of verse 1 to the church of God, which is at Corinth. We encourage you with regard to the evening service. I know the times have changed and it's dark, or it will be dark early on, but you got good lights on your car, and take your time and be here, and we'll try to make it a profitable time together for us in the Word of God out of that portion of the Scriptures. So the local church, a place where we are to be living by faith and not by sight in that which is going on around us. If we live by sight in all the situations around us at this day, we'd be a very discouraged people. Things don't look too good. Even though our president would like to convince us, things are almost perfect. We live by faith. We walk by faith. Our eyes are upon the things of the Scriptures, which place our eyes upon Christ and where He is and who He is, what He has done, is doing, and what He indeed will do for us. I encourage you to be greatly involved in the ministries of your church, and thank you for that I know sometimes there's extra loads that some folks have to carry, and I just thank you for doing that, as you are those that indeed are set forth by the will of God to make Christ everything and ourselves nothing before Him. When we move down through the portion of Scripture that is before us, and I draw our attention just down to verse 4, and we're thinking on of the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Believers will never find comfort in life's experiences and all the things going on in our stand for Christ unless we're convicted and convinced indeed that we are a child of God. This portion of Scripture from here down through verse 11, dealing with comfort, has to do with Paul talking about his life and things that were happening and had happened in it, and how he was comforted by God in those afflictions. And while we might bring many things into that where comfort is needed, his primary position or his primary thought is, God comforting me as I stand up for Him, or because I stand up for Him. It's not because this sickness and that, which indeed God can comfort us in the midst of. But it is primarily because I'm a believer in Christ and I'm living by faith, and lots of folks don't appreciate it. Not long after I was redeemed as a young teenager, as I mentioned a few moments ago, I had asked my next oldest brother if he might want to go down to a youth service at the church, just down the hill, literally. And my dad heard something about it, and he said to me, "Just because you're going down there, don't think everyone else wants to go, and don't be saying anything about it." So I didn't. The Word of God needs to be given out and spoken and go forth. And because the Word of God is given out and goes forth, those who are strangers to us and those who are in our very homes might not appreciate that we're doing that. And it brings into our lives some trouble, some tribulation, as this portion talks about. But it reminds us here of the God who comforts. The God who comforts as we live by faith in the things of the Word of God. So it reminds us, when I get to this portion, I thank God for the past. I thank Him for His redemption through the cross, the shed blood, salvation. I praise God for the present. This time of a daily sanctification in the things of God. But all that in mind, with that in mind, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we need to live by faith and not by sight. Though there is that sense, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, of the sight of the glorious things of heaven to come, that we have fixed upon before our minds. I trust God for the future. When he says right at the end of chapter 1 here, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we, you and I gathered here, may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." The difficulties of our Christian life that come our way bring upon us an obligation, as God comforts us, for us to be ministering and comforting to others. For we learn how to comfort others by way of the comfort of God that comes upon our hearts and minds and lives, which comes to us through the things of the Word of God. And we pull it out right here as he is saying, "I've been comforted by the God of all comfort in the midst of the multitudes of things that have happened to me in my Christian life." And he certainly had. Paul did more things happen to him than probably any of us ever would, for the cause of Christ, for the sake of Christ, for the person of Christ. All possible comfort. I think I'd take us back to Romans 15:13 and be reminded on this morning, of all possible comfort, of outward comfort, and I think comfort inwardly of the mind, the heart as well. So Romans 15 and verse 13, he says, "Now may the God of hope do what? Fill you with all joy and peace. This is that that's within. Joy and peace in believing. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Back in Corinthians and in verse 4, he just blessed God as the author of comfort because he had experienced God's comfort in trouble. A trouble that comes as a result of living by faith and preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a comfort that is different from some other comfort in our stand for Christ. In this world that is cursed by sin, and that evidence is all around constantly, the curse of sin, and one of the great curses of sin is that of the way it affects our bodies. And yes, God can give us great care and ministering time right in the middle of the way the body has been affected. But here, remember, standing up for Christ, speaking up for Christ, living godly. We had the lesson brought so well in the Sunday school hour this morning. Living the love of God in the midst of all around us, folks who do not appreciate the things of God. And here's a comfort that comes because the affliction that has come my way, God comforts. It's a great thing to know, you know, as you at work or wherever, speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's some who would not in the slightest appreciate it or walk away cursing or whatever might be. And Paul speaks of all the great difficulties that came his way for preaching the gospel, all the situations he got in. He reminds us, in the midst of the affliction, there's a God who comforts and ministers to us. And so he wrote his testimony about that affliction and the comfort in it in this very book of 2 Corinthians. When you go over to chapter 12, and I direct your eyes there for a moment, chapter 12 and verse 9. I guess you can take your eyes, you take the rest of your body over there too. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. Remember this, he's talked about the thorn in the flesh and he'd prayed with regard to it. And 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And he says, the Lord had said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Here's the comfort of God. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, says Paul, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's what the first chapter is about. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Pleasure is not the idea, wow, this is wonderful, but he knows with regard to what's taking place and why. He says, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. Notice what it's all for. For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I am comforted in my infirmities by the gracious hand of God. Believers share in trouble and suffering and in blessings and comfort. Is what these verses are about. I'm moving down a bit in the chapter because he has this repetition to get the point across. And we come down to verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, we don't want you to be ignorant or not knowing or have no idea what trouble came to us in Asia, Paul and the missionaries with him. He says, we were burdened beyond measure. That is, we were just so pressured in our stand for Christ. Above strength or beyond ability, we just could not hardly put one foot beyond the other because of the great persecution upon us. So that we despaired even of life. We didn't think we were going to endure. We know Paul said he always carried about in his body, you know, the marks of the things of the cross, and every day was a day to die. Yes, verse 9, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. I'm not sure that we do in our stand for Christ. We might be ready every day to give our lives for the Lord, but do we feel like we're under such pressure from others because we've been giving out the gospel that we could die at any moment? He says the pressure was such that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. Remember, God is everything and I am nothing. It is God who raises the dead. If he should have it that I should die for speaking up for Christ, here's my confidence. There's a resurrection coming. Now this one, verse 10, who delivered us. Now what is that? He delivered us. As these ministries that went on that he's talking about so greatly hated. Who delivered us from so great a death in such a terrible way. And does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. So our phrase comes out in our thoughts there that we gave at the beginning of this service. Well, verses 8 through 11, we have the life of the believer standing up and speaking up and not shutting up about Jesus as the one and only Savior, that it's hard. When we stand up and we speak up and we don't shut up. It's not easy. That's what he's saying. It's tough. It's difficult. That's because this world's not our home, you know. And our lifestyle and thoughts and mind is totally opposed, or the world totally opposed to that which we stand for and speak up for. My wife and I have often seen this over the years with regard to our lives. We both come from kind of large families, and the families get together and do different events and so on. But somehow, we either are left out, not given an invite, or we're given an invitation too late. It got so over the years we kind of said, it looks like a plan. They just soon we weren't around when the family gets together because they're not of our family. That is of Christ, the family of Christ. So there's a conflict there. While we would like to see our family or have seen them and been to different events and so on, just the fact that we would not in any way participate in what they participate in and carry on a lifestyle that they see nothing wrong with, still it's nice to be there and hopefully be an influence for the things of God among them. But when you're not invited, it's hard to be there. And for us, that brings in some affliction. But God comforts us because God does what's right, knows what life is about, and knows how to minister to us. They felt like they were under the sentence of death, verse 9. But by faith, relied on God and not on the sight of the events that were going on around them, but relied upon him with a confidence that he raises the dead. And our response is to live godly in the midst of a crooked and perverse world and not give in to it. Let me box it up this way, kind of at the end there, out of verse 10 and out of verse 11. Is this our testimony? I trust this is our testimony, you know, in verse 10. Speaking of the God who raises the dead, speaking of the will of God, speaking that God is everything, who delivered, is delivering, and will deliver. He did, he does, he will. He did deliver us from so great a death. He has delivered you from the horrendous death of eternity in hell by the shed blood of his Son. When you, by faith, believe on that Son, he did deliver. So I thank him for the past. I thank him for a day on a Sunday morning as I hid from God in the church in the back pew to have another fun morning. But there's no hiding from God, nor his word. It is, as Spurgeon said, like a great arrow to the heart. It'll find you. He did deliver. And out of a large family of total of 11, just a great grace of God and nothing to do with us, but myself and one sister, who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's all of God, and it just humbles our hearts to think of his great grace to reach us. He did. He delivered. So we thank him for the past. And he does deliver. He does deliver day by day. Day by day from all that is opposed to him and his word that is around us. I praise him for the present. So much of it we don't even see because of God's great gracious hand to protect and care for us. And he will deliver. In whom we trust, the end of verse 10, that he will deliver us. The confidence that to be absent here will mean to be present there with him. Might these indeed be words of comfort? It's what they're intended for as he brings out the message of God's comfort in the midst of all afflictions of standing up for Christ. Might they comfort us continually as we would think upon them throughout the week that's before us. And might verse 11 just indeed put the whole package together. You also helping together in prayer. The comfort of faith comes indeed through prayer. Intercessory prayer, as we've heard it this morning hour and been involved in it and praying by name for individuals. Intercessory prayer indeed has great comfort. A church gathered, and part of that gathering indeed is for prayer, for the comforting of all, for we all are in the midst of all sorts of situations which we need the help of the one seated next to us. Over the years, I had the audacity to change up prayer meeting once in a while. One time I said, I'm going to pray first, and then so-and-so seated here will pray, and then so-and-so next to them will pray, and then so-and-so, and they go, said, yeah, you know, we're a gathered church that's to pray one with another, for another. And you know, they all survived.
They did it. So I did it a few times thereafter. I also had in prayer meeting, we would ask for prayer requests, and folks give a prayer request, and I immediately would say, now so that prayer request is remembered, I'd point to someone, you pray for it right now. Me? Yeah, you pray for it right now. These folks are giving a prayer request depending upon us to pray. Let's let it be known we prayed for them, because so often they're forgotten when we step through the door. There's a barrier there. You know, you step outside the church and we forget. Here's a reminder. And so, you know, it went on for a while, and folks actually began to enjoy that together. When the church stayed together, prayed together, encouraged what? Intercessory prayer is a great, great comfort. So you helping together in prayer, verse 11, for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on the behalf or our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. God's great care for us through many praying for us. God's intention in writing this portion is to the uniting of his people in prayer by faith as they are comforted by the hand of God in the midst of troubles and dangers that he has or is or will yet deliver us from, because we walk by faith. We believe prayer is that which has been established by God, illustrated by Christ, and is that which needs to take place much more often than it does in the local church. Be present for prayer meeting. Be praying indeed at other times as well. Some years back in a church ministry, a Bible conference, and some of the old guys, I guess that would be me now, some of the old guys were said, if you were to start all over in the ministry, what would you do that you didn't do or feel you did sufficiently in the ministry? And the number one item was always, I didn't pray enough. Should have prayed more. Should have got the people to pray more. That's the item that's needed. That's what we need. No one ever walks around, at least I've never heard it, saying, my problem as a Christian is I pray too much. We don't have that problem. But might we realize we're comforted by God through prayer? What a great comfort tool he has. Let our hearts be humbled. God is everything. Jesus is everything. I am nothing. And under that humbling, I pray as by way of the word. We're going to pray. Our Father. What a beautiful title, thought, truth. Our Father. We thank you that you are just that. And we thank you for these folks that have gathered this morning. A blessed people by the things of your word and your work. Father, we need your help this week as we go about speaking for you, declaring you, giving out a gospel tract, encouraging folks to consider Christ, who to know is life eternal. Father, might you be comforting us of knowing that we're doing that, which might bring about some trouble from the ones we talk with. But Father, you're able to comfort us in the midst of it, so give us boldness to do that which you've said you would never leave us nor forsake us. Bless over this church. Continue to give them great discernment as they look ahead and believe that you are able to give them the man they need for the pulpit,
and that you are able indeed to comfort them as they speak up for Christ during these days without a pastor. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.